The Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hump Day. It is Wednesday, November 10th, 2010. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, host of this program called The Green Front, and this being Hump Day because it's in the middle of the work week, in case you haven't heard that term before. I'm not trash-talking here. That was another show I started years ago, and it was years ago that I had the pleasure to meet the original eco-celebrity, talking about Ed Begley Jr. For those of you who have not been paying attention to the green scene for a long time, Ed is a guy who not only walks the eco-talk, he drives it and pedals it. Usually driving in his Prius, which is his idea of a gas guzzler compared to his bicycle, his preferred mode of transport around the L.A. Basin, where Ed lives and works with his wife, Rochelle, and their daughter. In fact, as we speak, Ed is driving down the coast of California, a beautiful day for that, after an appearance in San Francisco last evening, where I was fortunate enough to be on the stage with him for a few moments at the Energy Oscars. He'll be joining me in a moment to talk about that event, as well as last week's election results and what they portend, near-term anyway, for our environmental future, and whatever else he's working on outside of his acting career. We want to hear about the green stuff, that is, including his hit television show, Living with Ed. Well, if Ed is one of my heroes up there with Al Gore for being such an early adopter and with starting the conversation and staying the course for all these years, my next guest is one of my sheroes, right up there with solo ocean rower Roz Savage, who, as many of you know, has been an inspiration to so many, myself included. A pioneer who I hold in equally high regard is the Reverend Sally Bingham. Sally is one of Time Magazine's Heroes of the Planet and was featured this summer in Oprah Magazine for her groundbreaking work getting places of worship across this land of ours to go green as part of our obligation as humans on this planet to care for and to tend our great gift called Earth. Reverend Bingham is the founder of the Regeneration Project, California Interfaith Power and Light, and last night's Energy Oscars. Prepare to be inspired. After that, prepare to have some of your assumptions challenged. In our second half, we'll meet the provocative author of a newly released book called Green Metropolis, Why Living Smaller, Living Closer, and Driving Less Are the Keys to Sustainability. You may be surprised by his contention that Manhattanites, with their lower carbon footprints and higher usage of public transit, are contributing to making the Big Apple the greenest city in the land by some measures. David Owen contends that with the looming environmental and energy crises, Americans are going to get more bang for their green buck by living in denser metropolitan areas that much greener than out in the suburbs and the country, solar panels or not. Okay, without further delay, I want to introduce, again, one of my favorite all-time guests and inspirational figures, Ed Begley Jr., who's kind enough to take time off as he makes his way down the coast to spend 15 minutes with us to tell us what brought him up to the Bay Area last night and what he's working on. Welcome to the Green Front, Ed.
Thank you, Betsy, for having me on.
You know, you are so energetic and so inspirational, and you have been doing this so many years. Maybe you want to tell us just how many you've been. I think you were probably born green. What keeps you going? What keeps you motivated and hopeful, especially with some real big setbacks recently on the national and political front?
Well, I have been doing it 40 years. I started recycling 40 years ago, started composting, bought my electric car 40 years ago, became a vegetarian 40 years ago, and I'm encouraged. The same way I'm discouraged by some of the bad news, I'm encouraged by some of the success stories. Even though we have four times the cars in L.A. from 1970 and millions more people, we've cut the smog in half. That's a success story. That ozone hole that was big and getting bigger in 87 because of CFCs is now much smaller than it was. It is not the same size. It is not larger. It is smaller. That's a global problem. The Cuyahoga River that caught fire in 69 does not catch fire anymore because of the Clean Water Act. The Hudson River's been cleaned up to a large measure, and on and on. There are many success stories that we have to remember to celebrate. The lead level, our blood lead level has gone down, not up. We eliminated lead from gasoline. PCBs, level of PCBs in our blood was getting high, and we eliminated PCBs. So on and on, there are successes. We have to mimic some of those successes. What we've done, gotten tough with some of these toxic elements, and it all worked. So we have to stay the course and do more.
And there has been a lot of success along the coast and, you know, greener pockets like the San Francisco Bay Area and parts of the L.A. Basin. Of course, Portland and Seattle, sort of green metropolises in their own right. And as we'll find out, even New York City is much greener than you might think. Madison, Wisconsin.
I've said that for years, that kind of density, you know, that people are living in, taking that amount of square footage. And, in a small apartment, utility bills are very low. That is another way to go green. And, you know, kudos to the people of building LEED Platinum houses. And I certainly live in a I have an urban enclave, if you will, kind of in the center of L.A., in the valley center of L.A., the San Fernando Valley. But that's a good thing. But so is living in a city, taking public transportation. You can have a very low carbon footprint doing that. And my hat's off to those good folks.
Absolutely. But most Americans don't live in, you know, densely populated cities. They're more spread out. What about America between the coasts? Are we getting our message out, we who are trying to raise awareness and promote action on the environmental front? What needs to be done? It's 2010. We just saw, you know, nothing happen in Copenhagen. Climate change legislation get knocked off the shelf, well, put back on the shelf, knocked off the stove and the front and back burners, you know, till who knows how long. And this election brought in, you know, Tea Partiers who think climate change is not a real problem, perhaps even a hoax. There's a lot of reason for discouragement, and yet you sure were smiling a lot last night.
Well, you know, sadly, the naysayers on climate change, the deniers, have been successful. You know, the amount of people that believe that climate change is real and then man has a large role in creating it went down about 10% in the past year, year and a half. So that's not good news. But what I do, here's my approach with them, Betsy, because I talk around the country all the time, and I find a lot of good people that want to do stuff, red state people, blue state people that want to do something. And I say, you know, here's what I'd like to do for today. Let's agree to disagree about climate change, but let's agree on this. Let's agree that we all want to clean up the air in Houston, Bakersfield, and L.A., and all the other non-attainment cities that still have dirty air. Let's all agree that we want to lessen our dependence on Mideast oil, and indeed all foreign oil, and let's put money in our pockets. And I've got a plan for that. My plan is through energy efficiency, doing it exactly the way I did it back in 1970, to pick the low-hanging fruit first, do the cheap and easy stuff first, and then build, and over time, be able to all of us afford more and more of the medium ticket, hopefully even some of the big ticket items. We can do that. And by the way, just doing what we agreed on, less dependence on foreign oil, cleaning up the air in our cities, putting money in our pockets, you just bought yourself an insurance policy against climate change without even wanting to. You may not believe in it, but you've done something meaningful to combat climate change if you do those three other things. So that's the approach I take with people who don't want to believe NASA, NOAA, National Geographic, Science Magazine, Nature Magazine, Nobel laureates. The people who don't want to believe in that, you're not going to win that argument with them. They just don't want to see it. So that's what I do. I do an end run around that.
Good for you. And that's why when I had my program on Air America, my slogan was greening the red and blue states one show at a time, because all this quibbling is really beside the point in a lot of ways. If you look at the big picture, what's happening to our planet, you know, in terms of ecological decline?
Yeah, there's people out there in the country whose politics I don't agree with, whose basic philosophy I agree with. A lot of them have been doing the same kind of thing I've been doing since 1970. Indeed, my life before that, growing up with my dad, who was a conservative Republican. You turned off the lights. You turned off the water. You saved string. You saved tinfoil. You did all that stuff. And, you know, he cared about the earth without ever calling himself an environmentalist. He got me in studying and got to see nature up close and personal. You know, he was the son of Irish immigrants. He had lived through the Great Depression. So that's the way a lot of people live. They're inclined to do this stuff. And if you can reach them to do this stuff for also cleaning up the air and some other laudable goals like less dependence on foreign oil, you know, all the better. And then perhaps without even wanting to, it will help stem the tide on climate change.
Okay, Ed, I haven't talked to you in a couple of years in person, so I want to ask you what's going on with your fabulous show, Living with Ed. Are you doing new seasons and segments of that hit program? I know it's on Planet Green. Is it also being shown elsewhere?
It began on Home and Garden the first 2 years. The idea and the rights to do the show were sold to Planet Green, where it still runs, but only in reruns. We stopped doing shows about a year ago, and so there won't be any more episodes of Living with Ed, but it'll be running, for a while, I'm sure, in reruns on Planet Green.
That was a fabulous program. I mean, it showed what a funny guy you are. I mean, not just funny in terms of your greenness, which is so, you just embody green. But also your wife, Rochelle, she's kind of a disbeliever or at least a skeptic a bit. I have a husband who's like that, still after all these years. So it seems like reality TV at its finest, and that it didn't seem like you guys were acting that much. And yet it's quite humorous and entertaining while at the same time educational.
You know, my wife really made the show happen in every way. I didn't want to do it. She did. And I've had environmental shows before that no one watched. They're on at 4 a.m. on the Discovery Channel in the mid-90s. But with Rochelle's angle, like her being the person that just wants a cool beverage and a warm shower, and I'm saying, well, wait, we can do it more efficiently. She says, okay, deliver. And it's up to me to deliver that same cool beverage and warm shower with more efficiency. That engaged people throughout the country. That's why it ran 3 years, two on Home and Garden and one on Planet Green, because people responded to it. A lot of people sympathized with Rochelle. They identified with her. A lot of people identified with me, because there's many of those couples around America. The gender switches, I can promise you, many women are like me and men are like Rochelle and vice versa. It goes all over the place. And that's good. I think through humor, we got a lot of people into the tent, if you will. And then once in the tent, we can say, hey, here's some ways to save money. And I can't afford solar panels like you, Ed Begley. I can't afford a fancy hybrid car. I went, neither could I back in 1970. Do it exactly the way I did it. Get the energy-saving light bulbs, the energy-saving thermostat, put up some weather stripping, bike riding when weather and fitness permit, public transportation if it's available near you, home gardening, home composting, every single thing on that list, Betsy, was cheap. In the case of composting and gardening, dirt cheap. And you start there and build, and pretty soon you have money for a rain barrel or a little solar oven, and you save some more money. Pretty soon you'll have money for some attic insulation. You save more money, and one day, God willing, you'll be able to afford solar hot water or solar electric.
Instead of going out and buying another, gadget or appliance or a bigger house or a bigger car, Ed, do you think we've maxed out in terms of our consumptiveness, in terms of our, American belief that bigger is better, more is better? I mean, we certainly have to. We certainly, ecologically, there's all kinds of signs that we've maxed out in terms of the way we're using our natural resources, that we have to do more with less, wiser use. And can we scale up, renewable energy options like solar? Does that give you hope?
Yeah, it does. I think the economies of scale, as you do more, the more solar is produced, it's like, DVD players and many years ago video decks and personal computers, these things, as you, as you had more and more of them, they became more popular, the price dropped. I hope that's the case with solar. But whether or not people, are able to do that, I hope that people do something right now today. I hope they do something today that makes a difference in their energy bills just to save the money. Do it just for the money. If you don't have the love of the environment, do it to save the dough. And there's a lot of dough to be saved. I know, because I've found it in my life, it's not that I have so much money saved. I have some money saved, but I have very low bills. I'm quite financially independent because of the fact it takes me so little money to exist month to month. I've invested in things like solar and a wind turbine as an investment in the California desert that gives me a chance and puts out many homes worth of green power, and on, growing food in my backyard, collecting my rainwater. All of it is good for that other green, which is money. I have very low bills. So I am hopeful, but we got to get on it. The time is now. If we can get it right, Betsy, when 11 people just died on that Deepwater Horizon rig, 29 people died this past year at Massey Coal. Countless wildlife died. So we could all have cheap energy. The least we can do is revere that sacrifice from those people and those families and use less and really regard these resources as what they are, quite precious, and not trifle with them and blow all that, you know, fossil fuels out of tailpipe with low-mile vehicles and have it all leak out of our homes that are energy inefficient. I think that's wrong, and I think it does a disservice to the people who've died so we can have cheap energy.
And not to mention our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, if you didn't mention that. We just have a couple minutes left. I know you've got to continue on down with your road trip. Every time I've seen you up here, you've been, you know, you drive your Prius up and back instead of flying. Is that to save money, to save CO2? You like the alone time in your car? Tell us about that quickly.
All of the above. You know, it is much cheaper. I got to San Francisco. I saw you and Reverend Sally Bingham you know, for $20 worth of fuel. And nowadays, you can't get a Greyhound bus ticket for $20 from L.A. to San Francisco. It's a very cheap way to go, and I do it for that. I do it because it is less of a carbon footprint than flying, burning kerosene up at 31,000 feet where there's no trees to mitigate that CO2. Or, you know, there are some costs to air travel. And, you know, keep in mind, though, that the Prius is the fifth choice in my transportation hierarchy. After number one is walking, I live in a neighborhood where I can walk. Number two is my bicycle. Number three, public transportation, which I take a lot around LA. Number four is my electric car, which I'm charging on the sun. And then fifth and next would be the Prius, which is, you know, for long trips, about 60 some odd days a year. I borrow the family Prius and take it up to San Francisco. I drove it in April all the way to Toronto, and many spots in between. And so it's a good way to go for the pocketbook and for our global budget to use less resources and make less CO2 and less pollution.
And what are you working on now, Ed? Are you still doing Bakley's Best, that fabulous green cleaning solution?
Those products are no more. They're still out on some shelves, but that business, it's a very difficult business shipping liquid around the country that I wouldn't recommend to anyone unless you're a big bottle or bottling cleaning products or beverages or something. You have to bottle it in, you know, different parts of the country. I had hoped to scale up to that point where I could do that. We're bottling it all in L.A., and with the economy in such trouble, people completely understandably, didn't want to pay for that kind of shipping because liquid is 8 pounds a gallon, of course. And so it was I never hit the price point I wanted to where I could get into the wider public. So that product is new more. But, hey, folks, please, get vinegar and water and use that. Use baking soda. There's plenty of cheap things out there. Use the wonderful seventh-generation products that are out there now, and they have a better distribution system that I could ever arrive at and scale up to. So there's other green products out there. Use them, and we gave a lot of money away to charity. That was my goal with Bagley's Best. We gave tens of thousands of dollars away to charity, so I achieved my goal, and now we packed up our tent. We focus on other things.
Okay, before I let you go, I just want to tell you about an idea I've had with all this Tea Party stuff and people who are now in office in a capital who don't think climate change is a real problem. Do you think we need a green Tea Party, meaning people who feel that we're not so happy that the environmental issues of the day have been put, you know, on the back burner? If you'd like to help me with that, I could use some celebrity power. This is my idea, recipe for success here, okay, really quickly. Start with good quality green tea. Heat water until steaming. Do not get to the boiling point. Pour the water over the tea. Count about 3 minutes. Steep until strong, but not long enough to get bitter. Infuse with natural flavor, antioxidants, and other life enhancers. Drink the solution, then pass it around. What do you think?
I like it a lot. That's a great recipe, Betsy. And I'll tell you, I understand why people out there in America are frustrated and want to do something. I think they're just directing it at the wrong people. I would direct some of that to Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers and those people that did what they did with the economy. That's where a lot of the money went. I think we made other mistakes invading a country that had nothing to do with 9/11, and on a lot of money was spent on those things. That's where a lot of the money went to, and I would direct my anger in that direction. But this is a very positive, wonderful movement, and you have my support.
Well, great. Glad to have you as one of my charter members. We'll let you get back on the road. Thanks so much for everything you do, Ed Bagley Jr., and have a safe trip, and look forward to seeing you soon.
You too, Betsy. Thanks for all your work over the years. You and Sally Bingham are my heroes, so keep it up.
Oh, love it. And next up, we have the Reverend Sally Bingham, I believe, waiting in the wings. She is a person, the